Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What up, everybody? 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. I am West. I am out in Ashburn, Virginia, for Commanders training camp. I think it's day 11 of camp. Maybe Lamphill is much better at counting than I am. Can give me a firm count on that. But, you know, after Saturday night's practice at FedEx Field, where a lot of fans got a good look at this new Commanders team, back on the practice field today, good crowd of fans here. It is hotter than hell out here. I think the proper term is soupy. It's like you're swimming in gumbo out here. But good crowd. Fans seem to be enjoying it. They're back in pads tomorrow. I'd expect tomorrow to be a pretty good practice. If you're thinking of one to make this week, I would do Tuesday because they have a real game coming Saturday. They're probably not going to hit much later in the week. The Commanders also announced that they will be doing their annual practice at Joint Base Andrews, the artist formerly known as Andrews Air Force Base, on Friday. They do a walkthrough, and all the military members that are there and interested get to come hang out and get autographs. It's usually a really cool event. I've been out there a bunch. It's cool because there's like jets taking off and landing. It's fun. I want to check in with the boys. B. Mitch still on vacation down in Florida playing what appears to be 50 holes of golf a day. Lamphill, how you doing, pal? How was the weekend?
I am excellent. The weekend was incredible. I did nothing.
A lot of sitting.
I did have some of Dwayne the Rock Johnson's tequila, which is always a good time. I ate some tacos.
Nice.
Yeah. Good times.
Did you get any of the Scotties when the Scotties people were in there?
I was not here when that happened. I was on vacation doing nothing.
All right, let's let the Scotties folks know it's probably time to come back in with a couple more cases, because I am basically like, I'm the Johnny Appleseed of Scotties vodka. I just give it away to people. I just give bottles out to people that are of age and tell them to try it, and then they love it, and then they'll go buy it. So let's get some more cases in studio, especially if Lamphill hasn't had it yet. Goodness gracious. Who else we got? Jeff Walker in there?
What's up, JP?
How you doing, pal? How was your weekend? DJing clubs? What'd you do?
I actually DJed a residential pool party this weekend, and it was a pretty funny event.
People getting after it?
Yeah, and then I got there, and the demographic was kind of different from what I'm used to DJing. And
what does that mean? Use real words.
Okay, so I got there, and the only other black person there was the person that booked me. But that's okay with me because, you know, I know how to rock any type of party, any type of event. So I'm doing my thing. I'm playing some bangers. And this old white couple come up to me and go, "Oh, my gosh. Your music selection is amazing. You're welcome to the cookout anytime." And I was like, okay, I'll be at the cookout. But it was a great weekend, man. I got some tips, you know, DJing. They was bringing me food, beer.
There are some nice old white people in the world.
Yes.
Good. Glad to hear it, man. I was up in Massachusetts. I flew up. My flight got delayed. by about 3 hours. So I actually went and spent some time in Old Town Ellicott City because I was up north near BWI and I'd never been to Old Town Ellicott City. It was cool. It's like a kind of reminded me of Harper's Ferry or something, just like a little old historic town with a lot of like stone buildings. Finally got up to Boston. I'd go meet my friends. So it was a wedding for a college friend of ours. So it's kind of like a little college reunion. People came in from all over the country. By the time we got there, our buddies were tanked. It was like 10:30 at night. They had been going since happy hour. And it was fun. And so we're at this bar in Boston, and I'm talking to this young – there's like four young guys next to us that just can't fathom how old we are, basically. And this one kid, his name is Gustavo, starts talking to me. Gustavo was born in Brazil but raised in Boston. His family's all big Red Sox, Celtics, all that. And he's kind of asking what I do, and I kind of explain, you know, I cover an NFL team, whatever. He proceeds to tell me that in his life, he's 21 years old, of what he remembers, the Patriots are in the Super Bowl half of his life. And I just think about that, and I'm like, damn. Imagine growing up that kid. Imagine being a 21-year-old that grew up in Boston, and the Sox have won a couple of World Series. The Bruins won. The Celtics won. The Celtics have been in two other finals. And then I just think of if you're 21 and you grew up in Washington, at least you got Ovi. At least you got that Nats title before the Learners dismantled it. And now they're just going to sell the team. But, dude, imagine. Both Landfill and Jeff, you both grew up here. Imagine if the Skins, football team, Commanders, whatever, had any level of success over the last 21 years. They have one playoff win. And that was 16 years ago. How crazy is that to think about? This kid, 21-year-old kid in Boston, the Pats were in the Super Bowl half of his life.
I wouldn't say it's crazy so much as it's annoying. People from Boston annoy me with all their sports teams winning. I guess the closest thing that we would have here in D.C.
Yeah,
is when the Nats and the Caps won. Was it back-to-back years? I guess the Caps won in like June of 2018.
Back-to-back years. And, dude, the Mystics won, too.
Yeah. Right. But, honestly, none of those are the most popular sport.
Nope. Not close, frankly. And it's just, I don't know, man. It was, I, too, find Boston and really the whole state of Massachusetts pretty annoying. This was the best trip I've ever had up there, though, for what that's worth. Every time I've gone out in Boston, like I go to a bar in Boston, inevitably I meet just some Boston hardos, just some dudes that want to like kind of try to eyeball you or like, you know, make sure that you know that they're from here and you're not and blah, 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 blah. That's just like the vibe with dudes from Boston. I didn't experience any of that Friday night. These young guys we talked to couldn't have been nicer, even though they are used to watching the Patriots in the Super Bowl every other year. And then the Saturday night, we went down to Plymouth, which is where the wedding was. And Plymouth is more of like a – kind of has an Annapolis vibe to it, it would be my equation. Like it's on the water, more of a vacation town, at least in the summer. And we were at a wedding, and we had a big group of folks. So that was just fun. But – dude, as much as we complain about the traffic in and around Boston is awful. Everything is a tunnel. I did eat a lot of lobster, Landfill. I think you might have appreciated my lobster intake. On Saturday, I got a lobster for lunch, a lobster for dinner, and a lobster roll at happy hour. That's pretty strong, right?
If anything, that's too much lobster, but I think the lobster roll is the strongest move there.
It was great, dude. It was great. And I got some clams. I did eat a lot of seafood. That was a lot of fun. I also found a new – if I know you like the seltzers, Landini.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like – I don't know the right thing to call it. Have you had Spindrift?
This is the first time I'm hearing
it. It's non-alcoholic. It's like – you know how like – okay, you know how LaCroix started this like – carbonated water craze, right?
Right.
And now there are millions of different seltzer waters, bubble waters, carbonated waters, whatever you want to call them. It's a whole cottage industry now. There's a billion different kinds. Well, for a long time, I've thought I like grapefruit. My two favorites were Whole Foods, just their own brand, and then Wegmans, their own brand. Then I found Spindrift, which they actually have, like, real fruit in the can. And they're really good, especially with some Scotty's vodka. What I found in Massachusetts, and I haven't seen anywhere else, perhaps people can alert me if these are in the DMV area, but Spindrift is now making seltzers, which were really good, especially sitting on the beach. So that was a positive of the trip. A negative of the trip was after a flight was delayed 3 hours, the captain of the airplane came on and said, "Sorry, folks, for the weather delay, but I got more bad news. There's no Wi-Fi and there's no drink service on this flight to Boston," which was Friday night at like 8 o'clock, which everybody could probably go for a cocktail when you're not going to be driving. Yeah, well played there. But all in all, real fun weekend. We had the text thread going. Jeff, I saw on Instagram you have a DJ set coming up at Comet Ping Pong. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Dude, that's pretty close to my house. I will do my best to attend that, all right?
Oh, yeah, come through, JP. I got you. Make sure you straight all night.
Put me on the list. That is an interesting spot for this concert. I'm pretty intrigued by it. We have a busy day coming your way today on the program. Ben Standing's going to join us this afternoon. Barstool Nate's going to join us at high noon. There's a Lady Gaga concert at Nats Park tonight?
Yes. Yeah, we were wondering why they had all the signs up that there was some kind of an event there that you couldn't park here because the traffic and there's like Nats Park traffic parking prices. And because they're in Chicago, so we did a little bit of Googling, and there is a Lady Gaga concert at Nats Park tonight.
What's the average ticket for the Lady Gaga concert at Nats Park? Let's all guess, and then we'll Google. I'm guessing, I bet you're talking $175.
I really
bet she packs that place.
I have no context for what ticket prices the things cost, but I was going to guess $220.
What about you, Jeff? I'm Googling it now.
Oh, yeah. The nosebleed seats will probably be $150. For Lady Gaga, I wouldn't be surprised.
Dude, this is surprising. I'm looking at the prices. You can get in for $87. Now, I think those are pretty bad seats. But you said nosebleeds. Yeah, dude. So the stage is basically set up in like center field. So if you sit like third base nosebleeds, you can get in for $90. I'm not going to go, but that doesn't seem that bad. Now you're pretty far away from the stage, but I've never been to one of the concerts at Nats Park, but I think it'd be a lot of fun. I feel like it's a good venue. It's a good outdoor scene. I would definitely hit up either Bullpen or Salt Line beforehand. But
I would recommend to anybody coming.
I am glad to not be downtown dealing with that.
Leave early, because there was a Taylor Swift concert here maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, and it was by far the worst traffic I've ever seen, not only here but anywhere. So leave early.
Yeah, I listen, I'm sitting in a field doing outdoor radio in this heat and humidity. I'm actually not mad about it, because I don't want to deal with, what are the Lady Gaga fans called? Does she have like her own, or doesn't she call them like?
Yeah, they're the Monsters.
Minions or something? The Monsters, thank you. I am happy to not be down there for that, because that sounds like it could be a zoo getting out of there. So, good luck, boys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, I want to get into some of this Carson Wentz stuff that I guess it really popped up on Saturday, because a number of fans got to watch Carson in a practice and he sprayed the ball a little bit. I've watched a ton of Carson practices now. I've seen him spray the ball a little bit. I'm not surprised by what people are taking in. Ron Rivera got asked about the inaccuracies. We're going to talk to Ben Standing about it later. I think there are a couple things in play all at once, right? Ron is trying to maintain a level of positivity with Carson and with the new operation at all costs, right? So Ron is going to stand up for his guy in this situation no matter what, period. You also have a layer of, this is practice, they're working through stuff, it's okay to have some misses right now. Like, to a certain extent, that's true. That's real. That happens all the time in camp. You also have Carson's proclivity to like to go downfield and to take bigger shots. The bigger the shot, the lower the chances are of making it, right? I mean, that's just simple math. Like, ideally, everybody can understand that. If you're taking deep shots, they're far less simple or easy than if you're dumping it off to the running back. And that's something that has perhaps been a problem with Carson, is that he doesn't always take the easy play. He tries to go deep and make big plays, but that'll kind of work itself out over time, you think. The other part of all this that we just got to be honest about, he's erratic. It is a little bit of a roller coaster. And I think what the team will tell you, maybe not what Ron was saying Saturday night because he was being a little more diplomatic, they are willing to live with some bad as long as there is actual good, as long as they get some real elite stuff that Carson can also do. So it becomes, what is your breakdown? What are your percentages? How much can you live with bad to be counterbalanced by really good, if not elite? Because, even talk to Colts reporters from last year. Talk to people that covered him in Philly, even in the awful year in 2020. He could still do things that really barely anybody on the planet can do. And you want to see him maintain that and keep that going. But it's an interesting time with Carson because I think some fans are just immediately dismissive. Oh, my God, 3 teams in 3 years, this dude doesn't have it. Some fans are just blind burgundy and gold, and they're like, that's our guy, he's good. Anybody that says otherwise is a hater. Truth somewhere in the middle. His good, his top level is elite. He can make throws, he can do things athletically, his arm, his size, his athleticism is hard to capture. It's hard to explain. But when it's on, it's really, really, really on. And it's fantastic. But when it's off, it's really off. We're going to dive in. We're going to hear from Ron Rivera. And then if anybody was at that practice Saturday night, maybe we'll take some calls on that a little later and tell us what you saw. Because there's all sorts of different reports, depending from fans and media. And the truth, like always, probably somewhere in the middle. Don't go anywhere. Be Mitch and Finley all day, baby.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bevich and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along on social media. Follow me at JP Finley NBCS. Posted some cool videos from practice this morning. They were doing this real cool dropping the bucket drill where they set up this this big, like, it's like a screen. It's like a target screen, but this was meant to just be as an impediment that Heinicke and Carson were had to get over the screen and drop it to an assistant coach, a quality control young guy, on the other side. It was just cool to watch, and if you haven't seen that, check it out on my Twitter. I'll put it on Instagram eventually. But I bring that up because much is being made about Carson Wentz's accuracy or inaccuracy, depending on what you've seen, what you've read. Quarterbacks are going to miss during practice. It is practice for a reason. They are working on timing. They are working on routes. They're working on concepts. So misses happen. Some of Carson's misses are big. They're high. They're wide. They are uncatchable. There is some of that. I'm not going to pretend there isn't. Like, I've seen it, honestly, since minicamp that has happened. But there are plenty of good catchable passes, too. There are plenty of big plays that go downfield, going to Dotson, going to McLaurin, going to other receivers. I mean, this young undrafted guy, Michelle, is making an impact. You know, that stuff's happening, too. So I think to try to a big problem with training camp, and there nobody's wrong here, but fans and media get access to entire sessions. When the regular season starts, there's no fans at practice, and the media only gets to watch about 15 minutes, which is generally stretching. The media basically get to come out to take attendance, figure out who's limping, who's walking regularly, and then the coaches more or less give us non-answers later when we ask about it. That's what happens in the regular season. Get to talk to players who give you maybe a little more information. But right now, every throw is a trial. Every throw is an indictment that Wentz isn't good. Every throw is validation that Wentz is great. And that's just not realistic. Like, you got to look at a full body of work. Every rep between a receiver and a DB is not an evaluation of who that DB is. If a DB gets turned around on a route, like, people will watch one-on-ones and think a DB is or isn't good based on those, which is totally, totally incomplete to what real football is. Because sure, occasionally there are corners on an island, and you hear that term. But most of the time, coverages are designed to help. Like, a DB has deep safety help, or a DB's just working between the hashes and the boundaries. Like, there's so much more to it. Usually there's a pass rush. Usually there's linebackers. Like, there's a lot more to it than what people are seeing. And it's like that with quarterbacks, too. There's more options, more decision-making. So I think when Ron Rivera gets asked about Carson's inaccuracies. And let's be real, some of the videos coming out Saturday night from FedEx Field were pretty wobbly. There's some pretty big ducks out there. There's a couple big misses. When that stuff happens and it gets on the internet and everybody starts noticing it, it makes an impact. And Ron Rivera got asked about Carson's performance. Let's hear from the head coach talking about his quarterback.
I think it's a lot better than you're giving him credit for just because of the way things happen in practice. There's a lot of little nuances that we see, that we look at, that we get to review. Yeah, there's some inaccuracies, but it's nothing that, you know, we are overly concerned with. Again, we see what's going on. We see how things are developing. We see the timing and just the understanding and feel for what's going on with our concepts. So as we continue to grow and work on it, you know, we just feel like we're going to continue to grow and get better as an offensive unit.
Thanks, man. Thanks to the folks walking by here. So you hear the head coach there, and here's what I want to do, Landfill. Let's break this thing down percentages. I think Ron is telling 50% just the truth. Like, yeah, there's a couple misses here and there, but we're watching practice film in a different capacity, and we believe it's better than you guys do. Coaches, football players love saying that the media doesn't know what they're looking at. That's something that's been happening a long time. So I think 50% of what Ron is saying is true. Maybe even like 70% is pretty much true. And then he's defending his guy because he doesn't want this thing to get out of control. Like, it's August, I don't know, what day is it, Landfill? 10th?
8th.
9th? 8th? Thank you. It's August 8th. Let's not start complaining about the inaccuracy of Carson Wentz at this point. That's what Ron is trying to do. And I'm looking, Nikki Jabala from the Post had, Nikki's going to join us on Wednesday, posted a video from FedEx of just a couple of woof balls from Wentz sailing over receivers' heads, one hopping it to Dotson. That's going to happen. It's not everything that's happening, but it is something that's happening out here. And I think Ron even allowed for that, but I think by and large, you guys don't watch practice like we watch practice is a tad bit insulting and a little bit certainly condescending, but there's some truth to that. Like, we don't know if they're working specifically on Wentz only putting balls high and outside on out routes so that, like, that's the designed throw of the day. And maybe they're where they're supposed to be, and the receiver's coming out of the break late, or a defender's making a good play. Like, there's, to any single football play, 11 on 11, dudes running full speed, full pads, violent game, there is almost an infinite amount of context to one singular football play. And when you try to extrapolate that over a series of practices, over a series of weeks at training camp, where every play is broken down like the Zapruder tape, it's incongruent. Like, it just looking at every play as a life and death situation is not accurate. You need to look at the body of work. But you still can't ignore the bad stuff. And I think there are some folks that would prefer that be ignored, and that's not the job, and that's not what fans want, and that I think if you look at, I pulled some stats over the weekend, Carson's numbers in the red zone were really good last year. He went 19 TDs to just one pick in the red zone. That's not to say that, you know, everything is perfect, but Richmond John just texted me that Wentz was better than Heinicke on third down conversion last season. Indy was 12th. Washington was 20th. I think a lot of stats from last year's Indy team, I'm trying to take with a healthy amount of salt because of what Jonathan Taylor gave that team. And I think this Washington team is going to run the ball pretty well, but I don't know that they're going to run the ball like John Taylor did last year. We'll hear from Ron Rivera in just a few minutes. There was Landfill. What is your breakdown of Ron's response about Carson's inaccuracies? How much of it is just a real honest answer? How much of it is trying to control the narrative around the new quarterback?
I think it's mostly about trying to control the narrative around the new quarterback. I feel like they obviously do not want the perception being that they went out and kind of staked the future of the team on an inaccurate quarterback. So I'm going to say that it's maybe 60-65% that they're, you know, PR. But yeah, I guess it is practice, so maybe it's not the complete total meltdown, but this is something that we've heard about Carson Wentz for a couple of seasons. That's why people are obviously concerned about it, and I think that's why they feel the need to go out there and kind of launch the PR campaign that it's just practice and nobody knows what they're talking about. And when you see the guy throw a horrifically inaccurate pass, that, well, you're just a fool who doesn't know what they're talking about because you don't know anything about football, instead of the obvious answer that he's just not very accurate.
If Jeff's in there, I'm curious his answer too, because Jeff, as we all know, has a significant case of Ashburn syndrome.
Terminal case.
And I'm curious where his breakdown is on a terminal case, on spin versus real.
It's preseason, guys. Relax now. If we get to week 5, if we get to week 6, and he's still having these inaccuracy problems, like I said, you'll see me with a bag and my head in the corner, or if he's not having these issues, you'll see the optimism still there.
All right. I think that's fair. There is a healthy portion of relax. It's August 8th, and I think we all need to remind ourselves that. Now, if you look at his career completion percentages, there was one outlier season in 2018 when he came back from the knee injury, and he completed almost 70% of his passes, but his career completion percentage is 62%. I wouldn't be expecting a Kirk Cousins 70% completion, and some of that is the difference in their games. Kirk liked to take what was there and kind of methodically go down the field. Carson likes to go down the field and try to make big plays happen. And you know what? This offense is going to be excited if they get some big plays because they've lacked them. This offense is trying to score points, and they'll let the run game work their way down the field. So I think you got to also, there's an element of this that this is what the staff wants, and they're cool with it. So don't get too caught up in the play after play kind of maturation. I'll do this. I'll open up the phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Ron Rivera says, don't worry about the inaccuracies. Not nearly as bad as what it looks like. This is practice. They're working through everything. Is Ron telling the truth? He's right. Everybody needs to relax. It's early August. Or is Ron trying to protect his guy? Is there a little bit of spin going on? This is Washington. Everything's a spin zone. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Asked about Carson Wentz's inaccuracy Saturday night, and the head coach explained it like this. Can you hit me with it, Lamphill, please?
I think it's a lot better than you're giving them credit for just because of the way things happen in practice. There's a lot of little nuances that we see, that we look at, that we get to review. Yeah, there's some inaccuracies, but it's nothing that, you know, we are overly concerned with. Again, we see what's going on. We see how things are developing. We see the timing and just the understanding and feel for what's going on with our concepts. So as we continue to grow and work on it, you know, we just feel like we're going to continue to grow and get better as an offensive unit.
A lot of nuance. They see the concepts. They're not worried. Question for the phone lines. How much of this is spin? How much of this is Ron taking care of his guy? And how much of this is just reality? August 8th, and it's not time to freak out. And there's a lot of moving parts, and this is just part of the process. Lamphill says it's all – Lamphill said what, 70% spin, I think?
I think I was at 65, but I'll accept 70 as well.
Lamphill says 70% spin. I say 70% real, 30% spin. Jeff says zero spin, all real. Phone lines are open. MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Shane is in D.C. Shane, what do you say? Shane, you there? All right, put Shane back on hold, I guess, and we'll see if he emerges. I don't know what happened there. I think folks got to take into account that Ron is absolutely going to be protecting his guy at this stage of training camp, but that it's also kind of the truth. I think, I talked to a coach last week when Wentz was kind of slow to get going in camp, and they're like, man, you guys can't be living and dying with every play. And I think that is real. I think that is a real part of all this. How about this? I just saw Dan Duggan does a good job covering the Giants. I think he's the Athletic for the Giants. Yeah. Tyrod Taylor just replaced Daniel Jones with the starting offense for one play. Hard to tell why Jones got the hook, but there was a busted play on the previous snap, and Daboll didn't seem happy. Daniel Jones is back in now. That leash pretty tight up there on old Danny Dimes. I mean, that's not good. Is Shane there or no, Lamphill?
No.
No, okay. Phone lines are open if you want to chime in. We're going to hear from Ron Rivera in just a few minutes here. I'm guessing, you know, next 10 minutes. I think today was a pretty good practice day. Nothing crazy. I will say this, and I've been thinking about this. Okay. We got Ron Rivera talking now here in Ashburn. Let's go to the Commanders head coach.
Very good and extensive background in coverage. He can run well, and he's a solid special teams guy. So he gives us some added depth. He gave us a little something we didn't have, and that was another cover linebacker that we felt could really run and make a contribution that way.
And having Curtis now from Saturday and today, is this part of the ramp-up that you have been discussing?
We'll chill him out a little bit. He'll work on the side, continue with his conditioning, continue with his rehab, just making sure everything's in sync. I mean, this is important. He's an important player for us. And, we have a plan. And again, told you the plan was put together by the trainers and the doctor. And we just want to make sure we're sticking to it. So we're going to stay solid and continue it. And again, with the goal of knowing that, you know, he's got to be ready for the opener.
You've talked a lot about with the defense and the word humility. How have you seen that, talking about it, how have you seen it manifest itself here on the field?
Well, the biggest thing is not just about, it's just not about, obviously your personality being humbled or anything like that, but it's more about learning and understanding how to. Understanding it's not all about you, it's about us. And I think that's a big part of it. And you see the way the guys are reacting, the way the guys are handling each other. You know, it's great to see us be competitive, but at the same time, you don't want to denigrate your teammate. You want to be able to put your arm around them and say, hey, yeah, I might have had success against you on this, but this is how, hey, you did this really good. Work on that. hey, this is how you put yourself in position to be successful. It's working together. It's coming together. And again, that's all part of it as far as I'm concerned. And we'll continue to preach that with our guys.
And with the secondary, what has really stood out to you there?
I think how well they've communicated amongst themselves, you know, the way they handle all those things and the way they do all those things. Out there, it's just, you know, it's not just a bunch of guys out there running around chasing guys. There's a reason, there's a process and a reason as to how and why we do the things that we're doing, and they seem to understand that even more, and they seem to communicate even better, and that's been big for us.
Staying with the secondary, I know last year we talked a lot about William Jackson's transition from the man to the zone. Just as a coach, did you kind of learn anything about how players make that adjustment, and if so, something that you would like, you know, kind of maybe use going forward or talk to your coaches about using going forward?
I think the biggest thing with him is just about learning and understanding what we're doing, how and why we're doing it. You know, for the most part, he's a guy that's always been in a lot of man coverage situations. I think the biggest thing is just learning and understanding how to play the different coverages that we have and understanding the concepts and putting it together so that, you know, it flows together. The biggest thing, though, like I said, and I'm really pleased with it, has been the communication amongst those units. When doesn't matter whether it's our first bunch, second or third bunch that are out there, they all communicate really well, and that's been a boon for us. It's really helped us.
And because you guys are thin at tight end, a guy like Armani Rogers is getting more reps, even with the starters. He had a few catches today. What have you kind of seen from him, a guy that's transitioning positions from where he was in college?
Just a guy who's taking advantage of this opportunity more so than anything else. You get a chance, and you're going to run with the twos or the ones. You got to be ready to roll, and that's what the young guys have to do. He's done a nice job. Still making mistakes. You know, he's you know, been off on a couple of his formations, a couple of his alignments, a couple of his routes. He's going to learn how to run his routes a little bit better. You know, even though he's made a couple of big plays, they could have been even better. Just understanding, you know, how you run those routes.
What do you feel like the biggest growth for Jamin has been? Just in this camp?
I think the biggest thing is just learning, you know. It's hard when you're used to playing a specific way, a certain way, and then you come in and now it's completely a whole new ball game. It really truly is. It's a different type of learning. It's a different type of playing. This game is vastly different from the college game. And, you know, with him, it was just a matter of getting opportunities and picking it up. And, you know, he continues to get reps and continues to do well. I mean, we're pleased with where he is, and we're excited to see him play on Saturday.
You've talked about his fits in the run game and kind of diagnosing that better, but what about kind of in drop back coverage, and how have you seen him kind of handle the passing game?
I think that's one of the things that he does really well. I think his pass coverage is solid, it's sound. He seems to understand the concepts very well. One thing he does well is he has that ability to run and burst. He plays with pretty good vision. He anticipates well, and when you see him, he puts his foot in the ground, he goes. And that's what you got to be able to do in this league is, you know, once you identify what's happening out there, you've got to be able to go make a play. And because of his athleticism, I think he does. Oh, yeah. I mean, when you go and look at his pass breakups, look at the things that he's done on, you know, driving and making the plays. Again, I go back to the big play he made against Buffalo on the 4th-and-1. That was man coverage. He did a great job with that plant and drive on that.
Ron, F.A. Obata told me how much he's enjoyed reuniting with you and Sam Mills. What have you most enjoyed from having him around for another training camp?
Well, his maturity in terms of he's been in the system, he understands the system. He's a guy that knows and can explain to these guys what we're trying to do, the ideas that we have, the concepts that we have. You know, he's a heck of a story. I mean, he's just a heck of a young man. He does a good job for us. And, you know, he's a mature guy, you know, who's got a lot of life experiences.
What do you see for his fit on this line? How do you see him fitting in?
I'm sorry?
How do you see him, like, fitting in with the rest of the line here? F.A. Yeah.
I think the nice thing for F.A. is he's a big physical defensive end. He's a guy that can set the line, set the edge of the line very nicely. And in certain situations, he can transition down and be a three technique for us. So he's got a little bit of position flex, and he's a guy that just, you know, goes real hard. He's also an excellent special teams guy. I mean, you know, 265 pounds and 6'6 that can run is a pretty imposing figure out there, and he will play some special teams for us as well.
back during your first presser camp, you said Chase Roulier would be the first guy off the PUP, and then I think you had Logan as the next one. Any update on how he's progressing in his rehab?
So far, he's doing pretty good.
Joe, jeez, kind of easy. Joey Sly, I mean, you guys go back to Carolina. What is that connection you guys have, just based on your personal history, but also what do you think of him and how he's handled transitioning here?
Well, I thought he did a heck of a job when we brought him in. I mean, he was solid, did some really good things for us, and he kicked with confidence. It's a little different from when I had him in Carolina. It was kind of – it's like he hopes he makes it. Out here, he knows he's going to make it. And when you have that kind of swagger as a kicker, you know, it's a big plus. He has confidence. His teammates will have confidence in him. I'll have confidence in him. It's one of those things that, you know, kickers will flop around a couple years here and a year there, half a year there. But then something clicks. You know, we had that with Graham Gonneau when I was in Carolina. He flopped around a little bit, came into us, and started kicking with confidence, and it just clicked. And he was a solid kicker in this league for 5-6 years for us. And now he's having a resurgence in New York. Well, with Joey, that's what I've seen, a guy that bounced around a little bit. And last year came in, and there was a confidence about him. And you sit there, and you just know he has that ability, and so you get excited for it. And I think, you know, that's kind of what I'm seeing and feeling right now from him.
Just want to ask about John Bates being back out there. Just how nice it was to see him back out there, and where do you feel like he was at with everything?
It's good to see John. We're gonna ramp John up a little bit. You know, today he was limited with reps. He was limited in his teamwork, and he was limited in his individuals. But it was good to have him back out there. Now we're going to just slowly transition him back out there and have him, increase his load every day. Okay? Just real quick, we had Sophie Manning out here. She was our other Make-A-Wish kid. She's 6 years old. She had leukemia, and she'll be finished up with her treatments first week of September. And it was a pleasure to have the young lady out here and give her an opportunity to fulfill one of her Make-A-Wishes. So it was really cool. So thank you, guys.
All right, head coach Ron Rivera talking there. Between Saturday night's comments about Carson Wentz and then today, Ron talking about Jamin Davis, I want to open these phone lines up. Who is the head coach telling the truth about? Because he keeps saying how happy he is with Jamin Davis, who actually will be coming to the podium here in a minute. Maybe we can take that, Landfill. Jamin isn't playing a ton, hasn't looked great. He does present a ton of athletic options in pass coverage, but I find hard to believe things are going as great there as the coach wants us to believe. We're going to play both those comments. Maybe we'll be able to hear from Jamin. Stick here. 106.7 The Fan, B. Mitch and Finley, live Commander's Training Camp.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.